Stay tuned. It is time for hour number two of the Dr. and Mrs. Future Show right here on KSCO. Hey, son, I got you. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to the second hour. This hour, we're going to be talking to Brad Olson, who's an author of many, many books. The Esoteric series is what he's most known for, Future Esoteric. And his new one is Beyond Esoteric. I think the other one is Modern Esoteric.
That's right? Correct.
Yeah. And essentially, Brad is exploring
the mysteries, ancient mysteries,
the deep mysteries of the world.
How they unfold into this weird reality we're all in and entering.
Yeah, and in his latest book, he really takes off the kid's gloves and he's looking at the forces that are creating it the way it is, the way our consensus reality is assembled. And we're going to look a little bit into some of what Brad has discovered so far. And you bring in a lot of ideas that most people think of as possibly fiction, but you have a sense of bringing them into the more real, a real sense, such as aliens, for example.
Well, these are nonfiction books, and yeah. I try to look at it as objectively as possible, and things in which I don't have any direct experience, I try to match data points and look at other research or what has come out as far as aliens. You brought that up.
Yeah, it's one of the topics.
Yeah, an example I use is, let's look at the Roswell crash.
47.
So there's dozens, perhaps 100 eyewitnesses, both of the crash and when it was coming down, and the rancher Brazil and his kids and other people in town, then the people in the army that came and collected it.
Yes, one of the most documented cases.
Yeah. So let's look at it like a bell curve. So you get most of the data points right on the top of the bell curve.
Yeah.
On the sloping side down, you have what the military changed the story and said, well, it was a
weather balloon
right. And these were test crash dummies. There weren't live aliens or dead ones found.
So the beginning of the truth embargo around the alien,
right.
Around
then
Roswell incident.
Well, there's the day after Roswell, the book.
Colonel Corso.
Colonel Philip Corso, who believed that he saw one.
Right.
In a giant jar, I believe.
Right.
Or so. Yeah, so that was another element which seemed to suggest. Then he was also the one that suggested that a lot of the crafts technology was introduced into R&D products across the country here to make it look like we've invented, like, fiber optics, integrated circuits, and these things which came from the alien spacecraft. At least that's the narrative that I know.
Backward engineering, and there's a whole chapter in Future Esoteric for Dr. Future and Mrs. Future.
All right,
signed copy here for you.
Fantastic.
Of all the products that have come out of this. And look at the way our civilization has just exploded with technology in the last century. We were practically buggy whip technology in the late 19th century, just still horseback. Mm. And now in 2020, we have a space station. We have...
just 110 years after the first flush toilet, right?
Right.
Here we are in space.
Now, Brad, did a lot of the super technology go dark, so where we didn't get advantage? Do we get taken advantage of it as a culture?
Well, it did.
And if so, like what? Like electrogravitics?
Is what gets me really interested because this is the forbidden science. This is what has been kept from us.
Mm.
And if you look at old popular mechanics and other scientific journals of the 1950s, they were talking about anti-gravity.
Mm.
They were talking about cars that you could fly to work. I mean, this is what inspired the Jetsons and other sci-fi shows in the 60s that we grew up with.
Sure.
How come that never happened? Where did this technology go?
There was nothing for Samantha to twitch her nose and see things fly around. I know.
Well, we do have drones. Yeah. I mean,
there
are people who are flying to work.
Yeah.
Okay.
But in the right direction, though.
Say, art imitates life, or life imitates art sometimes, and there is a concerted effort to slowly percolate this stuff out.
Yeah,
whole notion of predictive programming so they can roll things out. And then when it does hit, that it's not so surprising. But something happens when that happens. When everybody starts to understand a certain subject, the word changes from esoteric to exoteric. So therefore, when it's commonly known, it's not hidden or known by a select few. It's then common knowledge.
So are we in that process now of turning SO into XO?
Oh, I think my books, as I've written them over the course of 10 years, some of these subjects already have become exoteric.
So it'll be like modern exoteric next?
Well, you know, for instance, we were present at the Masonic Hall in San Francisco the first time that Stephen Greer made his announcement about...
Just before 9/11.
Going public with the extraterrestrial story and introducing his years of research with all of the hundreds of interviews he'd done with military people, disclosing what they had seen and asking them to break their vow of silence around that, right?
Yeah, Dr. Greer has been invaluable to the disclosure movement, brought in dozens of very reputable scientists and government officials, as you said, in the year 2000, and then went around and was doing interviews and having a lot of these people speak in public forums.
And I think one of the things that you brought forward was the origin stories of these aliens, that they're not necessarily from outer space, but they can come from other realms, like other dimensions or inner space even.
Or they might even be us.
Channeling. Channeling. What's the phenomenon of channeling?
How we've always been taught to look to the skies for UFOs, the extraterrestrial, extra from out of our solar system.
Yeah.
What about interterrestrials right here
on Earth?
Right,
the Earth, what about Hollow Earth Society.
Well, you even had a chapter about something I picked up quickly about the DNA of all the other primates having something like 48 chromosome pairs, but us monkeys, us human monkeys, have 46 chromosome pairs, and somehow that's indicative of our programming by our creators.
Let's just say there's a lot of weirdness in the human DNA and our genome. For example, Rh negative blood. And this is in my family. I had, my grandmother was Rh negative blood type, married a positive, my grandfather. They had, my father is Rh negative. I could have Rh negative children, although I'm positive, but my second born uncle died at 5 days old because his blood was contaminated with my grandmother. And this happens in no other animals, only humans. And about 15% of the human race is Rh negative blood type. So these are the kind of subjects I explore because a lot of people just don't know about it. It's not that I'm trying to push any kind of agenda or narrative. I'm just a researcher who's very interested in these subjects.
Yeah, a couple of things I want to ask you on this.
After the break, right?
How much we have? Okay, yeah, after
it's
the break.
Time.
All right, we'll do that.
Do you want to, you can ask the question while the music.
Well, I'm just wondering if, you know, we came out of the caves 12,000 years ago or so. Perhaps, is it possible that some of humanity didn't and developed the alternative human civilization in the Earth? They've gone down, maybe they found warm areas by the volcanoes and developed a civilization that would be parallel to us, but different. You know, and then we wouldn't even need the extraterrestrial element if something like that were true. Or the reptilians, maybe the reptilians.
This is a joke.
Yeah, I heard about this. I heard that there were strange creatures from this planet. Bigfoot comes to mind, where we have never been able to get definitive results. So what do you think? Do you think that some of humanity might have evolved inside the Earth?
That's a great theory, Dr. Future.
Have you heard of it?
I mean, I have. In fact, there's even looking into the future theory that time-traveling ETs are coming back to our timeline right now to ensure that their existence as interterrestrials will continue into the coming
I've heard
centuries.
That narrative too. Actually, there was an interesting book in physics written about on super intelligences from the far future coming back into the present, and they operate through multiple bodies.
And if they don't ensure their own survival and existence right now, then the future is nothing but a series of probabilities.
Yeah.
And I'm very interested in this subject, and it's in futuristic.
So they really aren't in the future as we would imagine it, but a future that is real.
Future
in the,
that's
in the
real,
now, in a sense, right?
That has some of our DNA in them. And this then gets into the human abduction question, as well as cattle mutilations. And because this is, we're talking about extraterrestrial subject matter, exopolitics, that they have to use us for their own survivability. Because one commonality of all the gray ET stories is that they are coming here because they can't reproduce anymore, that they're all essentially test tube babies. And so their DNA is kind of running out since they don't have natural love and the connection that we do to create offspring. They do it all test tube, but their DNA is breaking down. And so this is what they've been telling government officials for decades, that they have to be here for their own survivability.
Now, and they have been here for a very long time too, right?
Well, that's the interesting part of it, because the big explosion of UFO sightings really only began post-World War II, right after we exploded the nuclear bomb at White Sands and then over Hiroshima.
The nuclear bomb has something to do with opening up the channels, the healing frequencies?
That is a leading theory that while they were doing a lot of these nuclear experiments, there were UFO sightings.
It attracted attention throughout the galaxy.
That it somehow sets off an alarm bell that here the humans have the ultimate weapon.
At the speed of light.
Keep an eye on these kids with their matchbooks.
Well, 2 years then, if the speed of light would suggest those aliens came relatively close to us, Alpha Centauri maybe, unless they have a way of detecting explosions faster than the speed of light.
Or perhaps they were interterrestrials who just sort of got the wake-up call.
Were already here. That's true. They were already here, and they knew, and it's going to affect their home if those crazy monkeys on the surface keep blowing these little firecrackers.
Well, there's also a third type of extraterrestrial, and that's called ultra-terrestrials, and those have interdimensional abilities.
And so the other ones don't?
Fade in and out of our reality and even walk through walls. They found out with the live aliens that unless they put them in a Faraday cage, they would just escape any prison they tried to put them in.
Well, Brad, how's that? Is that connected to perhaps ghosts?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because a lot of legends going all the way back, if you look even on cave walls and petroglyphs and pictographs, big heads, big eyes. Now we could say, hey, that looks like a gray alien, but just 100 years ago or longer, it would just be our ancestors. It would be ghosts. It would be...
We wouldn't be looking for those patterns, those patterns which we've evolved to think about in the last 100 years.
Same thing with a disc in the sky. So it does appear that there has been a long history.
Yeah, it kind of ties into the idea that I heard that the natives in Mexico didn't see the Spanish galleons off the coast because they'd never seen ships before. And so they were kind of invisible to their mentality.
As we may be with modern UFO sightings.
Yeah, it might be so advanced that we just wouldn't see it.
Well, they do have cloaking technology too.
As well.
Well, and there's a lot of research going on now with the way that the brain works and the way that the brain creates the experience of consciousness. And we start off as little cells that don't have sensors, and through our experience with our environment, we develop sensors, and that's how our eyes turn into something that translates into vision, and how our ears translate into understanding audio. That those things are happening in the brain, and the brain is formed from a recording of this neural pattern. So it may be something along those lines with the ability to see into these ultra dimensions as well.
Well, I think it's all great, but if there's something that can be corrected with this so that we can have a better life, I'm interested in it. Like you mentioned, and I look at your Beyond Esoteric text, and the beginning you're saying that there's a new world order that goes something like this: the dark agenda of the secret planners of the new world order. So there are, first of all, there are dark lords that are running us all. Is that, do you think that's true?
Yes, we can take the dark lords in different ways.
They could be evil, dark, devil kind of things.
Well, if we want to go into the folklore part of it, but there could be, look at how the devil has always been characterized as being kind of reptilian-like. Perhaps there are extraterrestrials of the malevolent type, service to self, that are also interceding.
And they're here to reduce the world's population to a, quote, sustainable, quote, level. I've heard of that. They're trying to reduce humanity to a billion or so that everyone lives well. So what I suspect about that is that we know enough now that 10 billion could live well on this planet. Yeah. You know, we could have 10 billion billionaires based on what we know. So these Dark Lords would be kind of stupid not knowing a lot of that if they had the kind of intelligence that the good guys have.
We could also start migrating off planet. What if we started to terraform Mars? Maybe people would volunteer to go, just like pioneers of last two centuries.
Yeah, I think all of this stuff is really an outgrowth of an elitist mindset that we see through a lens of our own beliefs.
Okay, but the mass culling of the population?
It says right there on the Georgia Guidestones they want to keep humanity at 500 million. They want a half a billion on this planet. That's a 90% reduction. It's not my words. It's written on this.
Who wrote it?
Enigmatic structure in Elbert, Georgia. Some think it was, it was anonymously built by a person called R.C. Christian, but a lot of people think it's Ted Turner at CNN down there. And is
there some real mainstream media behind this, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's rich enough.
Hi, it's Georgia, yeah. Well, that's interesting. Okay, well, you said the culling. How does it happen? Now, you say soft kill. What do you mean by soft kill operations?
Well, we were talking in the setup before this about geoengineering. What's raining down on us in the chemtrails? There are heavy metals which get into the brain,
pollution.
Become neurotoxins.
Lots of pollution. That'll take out a lot of people right there.
Unhealthy food.
Combined with...
Why when you watch television, every single food commercial is fast food or junk food? Why is that? Why don't you ever see a commercial for eat a healthy apple today? Not a lot of money in that.
Well, people prefer the taste, it would appear. But there's a lot of people who...
I never said junk food didn't taste good, but it's not good for your body.
Right. But that's what sells, right?
Yeah.
So it could just evolve because that's what people want. You're saying that giving them lots of soft kill products will be our end, or be the end for many who are sucker enough to get sucked into just eating junk food all their life, for example.
Well, the idea, it sounds like what you're saying is that the profit motive is being harnessed to get people to kill themselves, to sell them the things that will make them less healthy, less smart, live shorter lives, have less quality of life, so they have more reasons to check out early, and that the whole highest intelligence of people who are manipulating the message is being done in such a way that they just want to trick everybody into making their plan easy by getting people to do it to themselves.
We live on a planet of free will. You have the choice. You have a decision to make whatever you want to do. They're influencing us to make bad decisions, I believe.
Yeah, okay.
Well, but I think there's evidence that
they're influencing us to go in this direction.
Correct.
What about this statement? Those include... Upon request, toxic adulteration of fluoridated water and GMO food supplies, release of weaponized human-made viruses, human-made pandemics, mass vaccination campaigns, and a planned third world war. Period.
Hit a lot of subjects there.
But as an overall story arc.
In the first hour of your show, you talked about the vaccinations and
That's what's unfolding now. Yeah,
clearly alternatives. We don't have to get the Franken jab if we don't want to.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Whether or not did you write this before the current?
It was all written before current COVID. It came out right at the tail end. In fact, last year I had a lot of time on my hands because I produce a big street fair event in San Francisco called How Weird Street Fair. You guys have been there.
Yeah, of course. The first time we met you was at How Weird.
Dr. Damer.
Yeah. And so we got canceled 6 weeks out about a year ago now. And so I finished Beyond Esoteric, Escaping Prison Planet. And I know we're about to go to break, but when we come back, I'd love to hear both of your perspective on what does Escaping Prison Planet mean? And that's...
Yeah. Yeah, that is your subtitle for Beyond Esoteric.
Book,
Okay, well, we can do that. We did have a connection with Alex Jones at this station, and that's where I first heard of Prison Planet.
Okay.
And we'll reflect on that a little bit here after the news here.
Right.
We're talking to Brad Olson on his new book, Beyond Esoteric, part of the Esoteric series. And it looks like we're going exoteric really soon. Okay, welcome back to the show. So we have a caller, Mrs. Future?
Yeah. Yes. Let's say hello to Louise in Watsonville. Hi,
oh,
Louise.
We hear our own radio there. I think you should turn the volume down. Otherwise, unless you echo.
Asking me to put my volume down?
Yeah, because yes. Otherwise you'll hear strange
effects. Well, hold on now. Hold on, because I have to go to it. Right. Well, I have it on a little port. I have it on a portable. Hold on.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to pop you down for a second.
And I turned me way down.
Okay, well, we still hear it, but it's all right. I can deal with it.
Do you have a question for Brad?
You have a question for Brad? Or?
Well, let me give it to you in full. You're Dr. Future. What I've done in my life was for my future, which is now.
Mm-hmm.
How does that sound to you?
The ultimate future is in the now. Now is all-encompassing, so I agree with you.
Okay, the reason I'm saying that to you is I made a commitment to myself. My mother didn't have any milk for me when I was born. She had very little. I was barely 5 pounds at that. Okay?
Yeah.
So I had obstacles to overcome at that age and so forth. By the time I got to the first grade, I had gum-lined cavities all over my mouth. I had made up my mind there was no way I was going to get a second tier of teeth that were gum-lined. So at that time, my commitment, well, I had already started the commitment, and I made very careful what I ate. My father had a produce store. He was from Europe, from after World War I. Mm. My mother followed him afterwards. They worked together, and from what I learned with them and what I did for myself, I have a mouthful of teeth, and they're all mine and in wonderful shape. My dentist loves it when I come to his office.
Louise, this is great, but, you know, are you listening to the show? Do you have a question for our guest,
Brad? Well, epigenetics. What comes to mind is that your thoughts really helped create this reality, and Bruce Lipton is your guy.
Well, this is why I just said this to you. I'm giving you the reality of your future.
Yes.
What I did was in my future from when I was a very young girl.
Held that
and
real.
I was dedicated because it's nothing like being very, very sick.
Yeah.
You never want to go there again.
Right.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to tell you.
Yes.
Dr. Future, what do I see in my future? More of what I'm doing and sharing. I was always with the Master Gardener Program. I have been with California Rare Fruit Growers. I have been with all of these organizations as part of my life. Now, I don't know if that's future or what it is or whether it has any relevance to you or not. I've tried to tell you something about what I did to help me. So now, if I don't have a question for you, let me ask you this. Can you put me back to your people? Because I'd like to speak to one of the people who run the station.
Yeah, thank you. And by the way, Bruce Lipton would really be someone I think you'd enjoy listening to. The Biology of Belief, he really talks about how your thoughts create reality and how it's a field of epigenetics. It's very exciting and very powerful as something of creating the future that we can all want to be in, you know, where we can make, we can put some intentionality into our creation of our future by changing our personal narrative of what we're saying to ourselves about what we want to create.
Well, this is what I tried to put out, but lot of people, maybe I don't say it right, maybe I don't have the right enthusiasm.
No, you're fine. I got it. Our guest has a lot of things to say, and we only have a little bit of time, so.
Well, let me just say thank you, and maybe I can call you again or call you before your programming or talk to you before you're on, and maybe I can have something more that would be of interest to you.
Sure. If you want to send me an email, you can go to future@kseo.
future@kseo.com.
Don't hang up on me.
I won't hang up, but I'm going to pop down. Thank you for having your feet on the ground and taking responsibility for yourself and learning what things keep us healthy and strong.
I have no regrets for doing it, but I will tell you this. I get a lot of envy from people because they don't get off their duffs and make it happen. And they don't deny themselves anything, which is why it doesn't happen.
Yeah. People create their own realities, for sure.
Right.
And then
thank you.
Buddha recognized that. And people were suffering and they wanted him to. He realized that they were creating it for themselves. And why don't they just get it. And I think that's why we have bodhisattvas, or people to help people get these things that, that keep on making them suffer.
Yeah, yeah, we're in paradise world here, but yeah, we got to create it, right?
Yeah, so thank you for that. And we must get back to our guests. So.
All right. Meanwhile, here we are. Future esoteric.
I had some questions for Brad.
Yeah.
Could you maybe talk about, I would say, Prescott Bush and eugenics and how that's led to how these corporations are in pharmaceuticals and this idea about only 500 million people should populate the earth?
Yeah, why is that a good plan?
And where do we vote against that?
Why would they think that's a good plan?
Well, that there are too many of us and we're using too much resources and making animals and plants go extinct because we're overhunting and overgrazing and overpolluting. And they just think that we'd be a lot more manageable if there was just a half a billion of us.
And who's they? Illuminati, cabal?
Which go by many names. Lately in this country, we call them the deep state. We've known them as
shadow government
for a long time. We look at what these globalists are doing. I prefer that term because it's a lot more direct as to who's doing it.
Globalists. Yeah, I've heard that quite frequently.
And when you control the printing press and you have full control over the money system, then you can buy and create just about anything you want in the world.
Oh, and you can follow the Chinese fortune cookie advice and just tell a lie 100 times until it becomes the truth.
And they own all the media. So thank goodness for you guys for speaking some truth on one of these still on the air radio stations.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's funny. The FCC is more open on the air than it is on the internet these days.
Wow. They're coming down. But to Bobby's question, then you have Prescott Bush, which I have a picture in my new book, Beyond Esoteric, posing with Adolf Hitler. He was a notorious Nazi sympathizer, and he was in charge of Union Bank, which was aiding the enemy. In fact, he was shut down by our government during wartime in order to stop that flow of money from Union Bank to the Third Reich.
So what was the connection between them? Was it more than money? Was it some kind of spirituality that they shared?
I have a chapter in Future Esoteric about the paperclip Nazis and the Fourth Reich in America, how not only were the top leading scientists like Wernher von Braun and Hermann Oberich brought over to start up NASA, but you have the old spy master named Reinhard Galen who came over that helped set up our three-letter agencies, including the CIA, to spy on the Soviets. And you also have the MK Ultra psychiatrist that came over here. Do you know that the K in MK is mind control, but German spelling with a K? K-O-N-T-R-O-L-L-E.
So it had some origins. And so the Nazis just weren't into propaganda.
They were into propaganda, but then we brought them over here, and then it became American propaganda. Huh. So you have people like Prescott Bush, and that's a great question, Bobby, because he, of course, is the grandfather to Bush Jr. and father to George Herbert Walker Bush. So you know that there is this kind of infiltration now at the highest levels of our government, including two of our recent past presidents.
So they would be part of this program. They were part of this program of reducing the world population.
There are eugenicists in some of these top positions. Some of them are a little more veiled in how they word it. They don't want to come right out and say it, but Papa Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, was very famous in saying that we have this great opportunity to bring out a new world order, the rule of nations, not the rule of the jungle. And he spoke this on 9/11, one decade before the infamous attacks. They're very much into numerology. They use numbers and symbols in a not-so-veiled way. If you know what you're looking for, it's hidden in plain sight.
So in this scenario, in this narrative, 9/11 was a false flag operation then?
Correct.
So I think where we want to go in the limited time we have, which includes another break, is how do we get it so that all of these people are working for us? Because I know that the future is awesome, and it is full of radiant, self-actualized humans on a paradise planet. And we got to get to there from here. So I know we're going to do something.
Well, we got
right.
2 minutes. What about cryptocurrency? Do you think that's a way of breaking the money control?
It looks like it has a way of at least securing some resources outside of the Federal Reserve System, which does have a monopoly in the world. You know they're going to want to get rid of it, especially if they roll out their own Federal Reserve crypto.
Or somehow control it. Yeah.
Buy it up and crash it, make sure everybody loses their money on it, and then buy it all up again, pennies on the dollar.
Which they've done over and over again.
Tried, true, and tested.
Many scripts in the United States already have gone to zero value and then bought up cheap. And
only the big players stay in this game.
Yeah. But I do think that everybody's cell phone is really the way out, because you don't need to go through a centralized banking system for 90% of your transactions. You know, there's a few where you need to finance something big, but for the most part, there's a lot of options that we can talk about that people can facilitate amongst themselves. We got to go to this break.
All right, we'll be right back.
Little runaway, I was flying. Yeah, running down a dream that never would come to me. Working on a mystery, going wherever it leads. Running down a dream.
Okay, welcome back to the show. We're talking to Brad Olson, author of the Esoteric series of books, with the newest one being Beyond Esoteric, which I gather where we get into a topic near to our hearts, the future. And how do we wrest control from these puppet masters that rule us all and move into a more harmonious, loving world?
Yeah. How do we escape prison planet and make it the paradise
prison planet? Yes. How do we get from prison to paradise?
Yes. Well, we can't fight them with weapons. We'll get slaughtered. It's not an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth.
Because weapons are definitely, they have them.
Yeah, they have them. They have better ones. And like Gandhi says, you can't fight violence with violence. Yeah. So,
you know what I always like to say? We're they, but some of them don't know it yet.
Well, the us and them. You see, that would be the Buddhist thing, where you transcend the us-them paradigm. Go beyond dualism as your understanding of reality, which our culture is deeply based on. Dualistic thought, right and wrong, good and bad. But is there a state where we can transcend that and get to a higher awareness?
I like the Terrence McKenna quote, "We're not dropping out here, we're infiltrating and taking over." And I believe the revolution is consciousness. It's really all of us waking up, understanding how we've been manipulated, how they've done it for so long, and just opting out. We live in a free will world. So we have the choices that we can individually make. How we treat our bodies, where we decide to bank, who we're going to interact with. Look, the dollar speaks very loudly. You can spend your money at a farmer's market, or you can go and buy wholesale produce from chains that may spray with some of these things that could be used in the depopulation. I don't know about you guys, but I try to avoid PCPs and other sprayed vegetables and fruits. It's not good for you to eat chemicals.
Yeah. Careful what you put in your body. It's like putting good gas in your car.
And that's the revolution is consciousness. That's all of us waking up and understanding that there has been a control grid on this planet for a very long time.
Yeah, the control grid.
And once we step out of that, we leave. My answer to escaping prison planet is you just opt out and you make better choices. But you have to know that these choices are available to make them.
Yes, you do. And there's a certain addiction to the predominant paradigm. Like, I still watch NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt. You know, I watch it without the commercials on the internet, of course. But my excuse is that I need to know what mainstream media is thinking.
Sure.
No, but, you know, you can watch the news from a year ago and basically get the exact same message. I don't think they even need to update the program.
You're right. I mean, pay attention to how it's programming.
Right.
It's like fear, fear, fear.
Dumb, dumb, dumb.
Solution to the
fear. No news.
Get the vaccine. Fear, fear, fear.
Yeah.
You know, people are lining up. And you don't hear nothing about the people who maybe are questioning the choice.
Well, actually, what you hear is who has been censored on the internet lately. And if anything, that now is a go-to call.
who has died recently that really twangs your heartstrings because they didn't follow the program.
Well, I've known you guys for a couple of years now, and I've been on the show before, and we meet at parties sometimes and get to talk offline. So you know I'm a positive person, and I want to end on a positive note here.
Yeah.
The final section of Future Esoteric is called Utopia, Solutions for a Better Future. The end of Beyond Esoteric is Ubermind, how we can enhance our body, mind, and spirit in these very potentially troubling times.
Do you think we're going to a new stage of evolution?
Like, I really do. I think we're entering human 2.0, sometimes without us even knowing, but we are being terraformed. Things are happening to our bodies. Mm. Did you know that when you die because of all the preservative food you eat, your body takes not days, but weeks longer to decompose? It just stays preserved. We're like mummies when we die because we are literally, our bodies are changing in this modern age.
Huh.
So unless you make some of those decisions, how to not ferment yourself, and not only we don't have time to go into fungal, candida, all these new phenomenons that have come into the human race, Morgellons syndrome and so many others, that humans are changing right before our very eyes. There's also the concept of de-evolution. Maybe we're not going up, 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 getting better and better and better. Human lifespans are actually peaking and slightly declining now. And that should not be the case. We should be living into our hundreds or older.
Yeah, like we've just barely begun to explore the universe.
Right.
The consciousness we have.
How come we're not getting stronger, smarter, living longer, and living better? It seems we're hitting a plateau.
Well, I think we are. It's just slower than we could be doing it. But people live way longer now than they did 100 years ago.
Within probably our grandparents, who all lived to 80, 90, 100. But I'm 55 now, and I'm having friends dropping dead. And people I know, just from sometimes their own addiction, sometimes what they're doing to themselves.
Yeah.
Unhealthy lifestyle. But that's part of our choice. That's the free will. The revolution is consciousness. If you wake up to this stuff, you start treating yourself better and you start making better choices.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, in the realm of consciousness, do you think that we may be developing some kind of group telepathy or empathy or telepathy maybe?
Yeah. I like it. You just coined a new word.
Yeah. Telepathy, as the new norm.
Right.
And if we're aware of that, then that becomes the gold standard from which we make decisions, rather than what we see on the news as being what's true.
Yep.
More direct experience.
I have a chapter in the Utopia section of Future Esoteric called Superhuman Abilities. Hmm. And it's loosely based on the book by Paramahansa Yogananda called Autobiography of a Yogi, where every chapter is about another yogi in India that had some kind of superhuman ability. So there was the yogi with telepathy. He would just put thoughts or ideas or visions into your mind, and you would know what he said.
Didn't they call those cities in that culture? Cities.
Yeah.
Attainments.
And they represent in the Enlightenment world a certain attainment of awareness.
Yep.
But I think the thing was not to get stuck in a city, but keep going. Once you have telepathy, you use it for understanding even more about the universe.
That's correct.
Well, and the thing to remember is that every individual is given a unique journey and their own freedom. And the city is what you do with that opportunity, right? It's your consciousness that you direct towards the things that you can learn, the skills you can develop, the opportunities you can enhance, and nobody can do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. So the more you're looking outside yourself to somebody else and thinking that they're in charge and you're not, the more you are giving your creative power to that belief. So it's really important to hold the beliefs that you're in charge of your own footsteps. You're in charge of your own next move. And that's why I always like to use our show to remind people that freedom is innate. It is inherent. And my freedom ends when it bumps into your freedom. And when our freedom bumps into each other, that's a negotiation. I don't want there to be mandates happening when your freedom runs into mine, you know?
Good point.
So, Brad, do you think we'll make it as a species? You think we'll?
I think we will. I'm optimistic. The humans are very ingenious. We're very clever. We've gotten through problems before. If we don't destroy ourselves one way or another, we've got this a very far good chance to become the spacefaring civilization as envisioned by Gene Roddenberry in the original Star Trek series.
Oh, yeah.
Remember,
yeah.
That was humans 350 years in the future.
That's true. And you know,
and that's only 300 years from now.
I noticed they didn't have any money.
No, they never use money either. And that's a chapter in Future Esoteric, The End of Money. So we can look at ourselves as being this future Star Trek civilization. This is the golden age. This is the trajectory we can be on. Exploring the universe is humanitarianist.
Just part of what we do.
Part of science, right?
Yeah.
To explore, just as in the age of exploration, they got in a ship and left for a couple of years and sailed around the world and came back and what stories they told.
Okay, yeah, I'm all for this, and I like to think that we can get there even faster than what we are doing.
Yeah.
Maybe a few insights. Like, for example, you hear these stories about the super secret space program.
Right.
And that we already were there 20, 30 years ago because of the electrogravitic field went black and anti-gravity was kept from us. Is any of that ring true to you at all as a researcher?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you think there is a super secret space program?
Not only that, I know several of the members who have been in the secret space program. In fact, I'm moderating a panel at one of the few live conference events coming up in 3 weeks in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And we have Michael Jaco, Penny Bradley, and James Rink, all who came out of the secret space program
and
are super soldiers, although they like to think of themselves as enhanced soldiers.
From what I've seen so far is that most of them have discovered this through a consciousness shift.
That's right.
Right? So it's sort of their narrative has shifted.
Their narrative has shifted, and they're also giving us insight into what we have been doing outside of the purview of the rest of the world, as well as NASA, that they're never... A straight answer is the acronym for NASA, and that since we've been back engineering this technology for decades.
Yes, yes, it's interesting. So we already the world has exposed, and the Expanse TV series might be actually happening.
Yep,
on that level. Wow,
the future is now.
What about something really weird like stargates?
Yep, that's included in Beyond Esoteric. Yeah. I even have a picture of some ancient stargates found in Egypt.
Really?
So as others known.
That's part of the secret of the secret cabals, is that maybe they have a stargate that they use to control. Anyway, that's a whole other topic.
I'll have to come on again and tell you all about it.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you, Brad, so much for
you're
coming
welcome.
To the show.
Do we
really
want people
it.
To go
Where do you
get
want
your
to go?
Book somewhere?
CCCpublishing.com, or sign copies through my office, or learn more about me, BradOlson.com.
Brad Olson, his link is on our website.
Yes. So
thanks again for being here, and thank you, Bobby, for participating.
Thank you, Brad. That was amazing.
Thank you, guys. This is really fun.
And thank you, Mrs. Future.
Yeah, this has been a great show and great thoughts exchanged. And go out there and stay free, stay healthy, make yourself a beautiful future.
Future@KSCO.com. Any comments? Future@KSCO.com. Thanks for listening.
KSCO stands for...